Romans chapter 13. We're going to look at verse 8 down through the rest of the chapter. In Romans chapter 13, starting in verse number 8. The Bible says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." There in verse number 11, it is high time. It is high time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And Lord, I do come to you again in the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that you'll use me here today for your glory, for your honor. I pray, Lord, that you'll fill me with your Spirit and just give me clarity of thought to preach your word here today. And I pray, Lord, you'll speak to hearts here today and do your will here today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On April the 18th of 1775, the British Army had brought their soldiers down into Boston. And the plan was this. At nighttime, when everyone was asleep, they were going to take their soldiers, get on some boats, and go across the Charles River and attack Concord and Lexington. The British had their plan. It was a good plan. And what could go wrong with their plan? So they waited until they thought everyone was asleep. But there was one man that was not asleep. His name is Paul Revere, and he was awake. Paul Revere knew what was going on. You remember the story, right? Paul Revere and his midnight ride, and it just wasn't any normal horseback ride. He got on his horse and he rode, and he went from house to house and from town to town, shouting to everybody to wake up, wake up. The British are coming. The British are coming. You remember the story? Right? The candles were lit. The windows were open. The men got up, ready to go to battle. They got up, put their clothes on, grabbed their muskets. And you know what we called them back then? They were called Minutemen, because they were ready to defend this country in a minute's notice. And so they got up and they went into the streets to defend our country. They went into the streets to defend their families. And they went into the streets to fight against the British soldiers that were on their way. Paul Revere proclaimed that night to wake up. Wake up! The British are coming. But can I tell you this? We are in a battle here today. We are in another war here today. We need to wake up. This is an invisible war. This is a spiritual war, and time is of the essence. Time is running out. In 1 Peter 5:8, the Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Whom he may devour. He wants to devour you. He wants to devour me. He wants to tear this church down. He wants to devour anything Christ-like. He wants to get at Christ, and the only way to do that is to get through us. You see, we need to sound the alarm. We need to sound the alarm. We need to cry out, wake up, wake up. The enemy is upon us. The enemy is in attack mode. He is attacking. He is ready to devour us. But here's the thing. Unfortunately, the church is asleep. Many in the church are asleep, and the devil has rocked us to sleep, and he was so nice, though, he sang us a lullaby before he put us to sleep. He sang us a lullaby. "Now I lay me down to sleep." Oh, Christian, we better wake up. We better wake up before it's too late. Matthew 22:37, Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." Listen, all I'm saying is it's high time that we wake up. It's high time that we started living for the Lord. It is high time. Number one, it's high time that we awake out of sleep. Look at there at verse number 11. It says, "In that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." That word sleep there, it means this. It means to be unmoved, unfaltered. Really, you don't care about the commands of the Lord on your life. You're unmoved by anything you said because you're asleep. You're unconcerned. You're unconscious. And too many born-again believers are sleeping on the job today. Would you agree with me? People are living their lives as they please. They're doing what they want to fulfill the lust of the flesh without any thought of the will of God on their lives. Do you know if you're in the will of God? Do you know? But too many people don't know. They're just living for the moment, living for the here and now. You say, how do I know that? Because I talk to people and I ask them. I ask people when I talk to them, hey, do you ever think about going to heaven or going to hell? Do you ever think about what happens when you leave this world? Do you ever think about it? And so many people will say, no, I just don't think about it. The devil has rotten their minds with everything going on in this world. He has deceived them. Their minds do not think about the here and after. But there's coming a day we all will take our last breath. And many in the church today are just in a state of inactivity when it comes to the things of God. I believe that the devil really, really highlighted that. He really used COVID to speed that into progress. He used COVID to rock many Christians to sleep. And we got used to watching church on the internet. We got used to not coming to church. Oh, it's pretty good, right? I just can stay home in my pajamas and watch church on TV. But watching church on TV isn't church. Watching church on the internet, on the live stream, is not church. You see, the Bible says we are commanded to assemble. In Hebrews 10:25, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You see, He has commanded us that we are to assemble, right? To exhort one another. If you're not here, you cannot exhort me. I cannot exhort you. You cannot exhort the fellow other members of Gilead Baptist Church if you're not here. You cannot even be exhorted. You see, as a Christian, we should be committed. Christ went to that cross and gave everything for us to go to heaven. And if you're a born-again Christian, we should be committed to be here every time we assemble. Every service, you should be here. You see, here's the thing. God gives the pastor a sermon for His people. And when God gives a sermon to a pastor and he stands up here and he preaches it, and you're not here, you missed what He had for you. You did not get what the Lord had for you, so that when you go out into this world to your workplaces and you live your life in this world, when the devil's throwing all those fiery darts at you and you're defeated, you're like, why is this all happening to me? I'm defeated. Well, because you're not faithful to church, for number one. You're not being exhorted. You're not allowing the Lord to exhort you. You're not growing because you're not under good Bible preaching. That devil is going to continue to attack you. Why? Because you're an easy target. Right? You're an easy target because when you're in the will of God, you're protected. But when you go outside of the will of God, you have no protection. Those fiery darts from the devil are going to come at you over and over and over. Look, all I'm saying is it's high time we wake up. Time is running out. Do you hear me? Time is running out. Time is something we feel we never have enough of. Yet we give it away so easily. And somebody said this about time. They said, time is free, but it's priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. And you can't keep it, but you can spend it. And once you've lost it, you can never get it back. Time. Time is of the essence. You see, we need to wake up. Each day, there's 24 hours, 1,440 minutes, and 86,400 seconds. That's one day. How are you spending it? Are you sleeping? Are you awake? How are you spending each day? You see, each day is a precious gift of God. Each day that we have is a gift of God that He has given to us. And are we wasting it away? Are we sleeping on the job? And remember, When we're asleep, we're out of touch with reality. We're unaware of what's going on when we sleep. And the Bible talks about sleep, and he says, he refers it to the sluggard. The sluggard loves to sleep. In Proverbs 6:9, he says, "How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep?" Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth. Proverbs 26:14, "As the door turneth upon the hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed." Hey, God's people must not be lovers of sleep. We must not be wasting our lives, wasting the precious gift of God away on sleep. We sleep, yes, because we have to, but not because we're lazy. Not because we're just going to stay home and sleep and miss church. Not to do that. You see, when we wake up, we get up. We wake up. We don't lay around in bed and be lazy. Paul's also saying here in our text that not only that, but Christians need to stop being asleep spiritually. We need to stop being half-hearted. We need to stop being worldly, backslidden, lukewarm Christians. How many of you like coffee? I went all my life without drinking coffee. All through the military, never drink coffee, but I'm okay to drink coffee now. But here's the thing. I like my coffee either hot or I like my coffee either cold. Cold or hot. Not lukewarm. Not lukewarm. And this is what God says about lukewarm Christians in Revelation 3:15. He says, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." He likes you hot or cold as well. He doesn't like lukewarm. He says, "I will spew thee out of my mouth." You see, a lot of people, a lot of professing Christians, those that say they're saved and going to heaven, only attend church enough to comfort their conscience. Only enough to make them feel acceptable to God. You see, and most people think, "Oh, God would never reject me. I've never murdered anybody. I've never committed adultery. I'm a pretty good person. I do this and I do that." I used to think the same way. Till I was 38 years old. But the Bible doesn't talk anything about that. I used to think all my good works on one side would outweigh my bad on the other. Right? I always envisioned in my mind how God would let me into heaven because I'm a pretty good person. But you listen, the Bible does not teach that. Nowhere in the Bible does that teach that. Jesus says all the lukewarm, half-committed church members in the world would be far better off if they made no profession at all. Lukewarm, if you'd spew them out of their mouth. If you would, turn over to Matthew chapter 7. The Bible gives us a clear warning in this subject here. A clear warning. And as I knock on people's door and I talk to people in this area, and because, you know, I'm not from around here, and so I notice it more, but it just over and over again, you talk to people, and it seems like everybody knows they're going to heaven. This area. Everybody knows they're going to heaven, and when you ask them the question, "What is your faith in?" or "What's going to get you to heaven?" they give such off the wall answers. "Well, I hope and so. I'm a member of this church. Well, I do good. I'm pretty good." But I keep going back to this verse here in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Look at that. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, it says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord," listen, "shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Everybody that says they're going to heaven is not going to heaven. Jesus says it here. And he says, "But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." And what's the will of the Father? To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did. Verse number 22 says, "Many," and that word "many," I just keep going back to that word "many." Not just a couple or one or two. He says, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works." That's so many people in our world today. Oh, they're religious. Oh, they do the good works. So they say Jesus on their lips, but their lives reflect something different. And Jesus says, "Many in that day will say that." But this is what Jesus says, not what I say. He says this in verse 23. He says, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Hey, listen, we need to wake up. We need to wake up, get busy, abiding in Christ, living for the Lord, not being conformed to this world. Romans 12, 1 and 2 tells us that we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice. What He did for me on the cross, hey, I die daily to myself and to my flesh and to my wants. Right there, that old man is still there. He wants to do those same things. But I got to die daily because I'm to present my body a living sacrifice. Lord, not my will, but Your will. What do You want me to do? Have you ever asked the Lord that? You say, well, I'm just too old. I'm just too old. No, you're not. No, you're not. Moses was 80 years old. And then he wandered in the desert for 40 years. If you're still breathing, God wants you to present your bodies a living sacrifice. And then verse number 2 there in Romans chapter 12, He says, and be not conformed to this world. He wants you separated from the world. He didn't save you so you could live like the world and live where you were. He didn't save me so I could continue in drunkenness and live in the bars and do that kind of lifestyle. He saved me not to be conformed to the world, to be different. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And then I will receive you. He tells us we're to be different. But hey, it's our reasonable service to go to church. It's just reasonable service. It's just our reasonable service to go soul winning. It's just our reasonable service to drive a bus, to be in a bus route, to win the lost. It's just reasonable service to live for Christ. But here's the thing. Nobody today is wanting to take accountability. Nobody today is wanting to stand up. Nobody today is wanting to be committed to anything. Nobody wants commitment in our service. They want to come and go and do what they please. And why is that? Why is there no commitment today? You see, in 1998, September the 9th of 1998, I joined the United States Air Force. I didn't know what I was getting into. But when I got there, after they yelled at me all night, they put a uniform on me. They put a uniform on me. And I was expected to learn and to do those things that were required of a United States Air Force airman, right? I was expected to learn. I was expected to abide in the rules. The same thing with the Lord. He calls you into service. It's reasonable service to be committed. It's just reasonable service. What am I saying? I'm saying this. I'm saying it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up and be the husband and father God wants you to be. It's time to wake up and be the wife and mother that God wants you to be. And why is that? Because time is running out. Time is running out. Listen, every day people die. Every day people die. 120,000 people die every day. And you know what? Most of them die without the Lord. Most of them die lost. They close their eyes here. They lift up their eyes in hell, being in torment. Good people, nice people, dads, moms, brothers, sisters, aunts, nieces, all of that. In John chapter 4 and verse 35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Macon, Georgia's ready to harvest. All we got to do is go get them. All we got to go do is give them the gospel. All we got to do is tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. There are souls everywhere, but are we getting them? Are we winning them? Your neighbors, the doctor's office, the store. Gather the harvest while it can be done, because there's coming a day and a time when no man can work. The one thing we will not be doing in heaven is winning the lost. We will not be soul winning in heaven. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. In John chapter 9 and verse 4, it says, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. All I'm saying is we need to wake up. We need to wake up, church, Christian, we need to wake up. But unfortunately, I think so many churches are like Samson. So many of us are like Samson in the fact that we are asleep on Delilah's lap. We're just asleep on Delilah's lap, and we enjoyed our nursery rhyme to put us to sleep, and we're just enjoying the time. But hey, when we finally do wake up from our little siesta there, we wake up and we run out into the world and we don't even realize that there's no power in our lives. We go out and we realize that we're not in the will of God. We go out and don't even realize that we're wide open for the devil's attacks. We don't even realize what is going on. It's high time that we wake up. In Ephesians 5:14, he says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time." Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Yes, we live in an evil world. But so was the days of Noah. So was the days of David. So was the days of when Jesus walked the earth. So was the days of Peter. I mean, go down the list. All days were evil. We live in an evil world. But here's the thing. That time thing. You know, 24 hours in a day, and God has given us enough time that we can do everything that He wants us to do and do it faithfully. If you say you do not have enough time in the day, that would be an insult to God. He has given us 24 hours in a day, and to say that we do not have enough time to serve Him would be an insult. If we don't have enough time to serve Him, here's the thing. We are doing something that God doesn't want us to do. If we do not have enough time to serve Him, then what are you doing? Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." See, are you seeking Him? Are you seeking His righteousness? It doesn't say seek your job first. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say seek a paycheck first. It says seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's what comes first. So if you're seeking a job or a paycheck first, you're out of alignment. Your priorities are not right. You need to get your priorities straight. If you're seeking first the pleasures of the world, you're way out of line. You're setting yourself up for the fiery darts of the devil to attack you and to destroy you and to destroy your family. Here's the thing also. We all need to realize that we're late in the game. We need to realize the time and the hour. Time is of the essence, and here's the thing, it may be later than what we think. It may be later than what we realize, because here's the thing, at the end of the day, you and I both only have so much time. We only have so much time to live, and we don't know, today may be the last time, today Jesus Christ may come back, but this could be our last day. God does not owe us any more time. God does not owe us a happy life, a wealthy life. He does not owe us more time. Yeah. Hey, listen. Time each day is a precious gift of God. In James 4:14, he says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away." It's gone. Life is short at best. We don't want to waste it sleeping it away. We need to just get busy. It's high time we awake out of sleep. Let me give you another one here. It's high time that we get saved. If you're here today and you said, "I've never been born again," it's high time that you get saved today. You see, that's our greatest need in this life, is to be saved. To get born again, and nothing else matters. A job, a house, a car, fame, fortune, money. Every single bit of that is all temporary. In Mark 8:36, he says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" What did all that rich man's money do for him? In Luke chapter 16, when he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, in hell. All that money, what does it do? You see, eternal life, salvation, that's the most important thing. Nothing else matters but that. You might be saying, "Why do I need to be saved?" Well, see, here's the problem. It's called sin. S-I-N, sin, we all have it. In Romans 5:12, the Bible says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Right? Because Adam disobeyed God, he sinned against God, that sin separated him from God, so you and I are sinners, not only just because we are born sinners, but because we choose to sin. You don't have to teach a baby to sin. He just knows it. And you put him in the crib and he cries, and then you pick him up and he quits crying. Oh, I know how to do it now. Right? But that's where sin came. The Bible says There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. My penalty is death. But death isn't just dying and going to a grave and that's it. You see, dying is being separated from my body. My spirit is separated from my body. My body goes to the ground, but my spirit goes to heaven or hell. Where's it going to go? If you're not born again, it's going to go to hell. And in Revelation 20, 14 and 15, the Bible says, and death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You see, that's eternal torment. That is eternal separation from God in an eternal place that God never intended you or for any person to go. It was created for the devil only. But if you do not choose to come to Jesus Christ, that's where everybody must go. You see, the Bible doesn't say that the wages of my sin is joining a church. I could join every church in town and that's not going to get me to heaven. The Bible doesn't say the wages of my sin is performing good works. Hey, listen, Romans 8:8 says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. I could work 1,000 lifetimes and never earn my way into heaven. I want you to listen to this verse here. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 50 says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood can't go to heaven. There's neither doth corruption inherit corruption. You can't enter heaven the way you are. We cannot go to heaven in this flesh and blood. We need a surgery. We need to have a surgery. We need a change. Listen, I've got a doctor's appointment tomorrow. Many of you guys will have a doctor's appointment. But if we go to our doctor's appointment and that doctor says, hey, listen, Jimmy, you got to have surgery right now. You got to have surgery right now. If you don't do this surgery, you're going to die. Who would turn it down? None of us. We would say, okay, let's do that surgery right now. But whenever a preacher or a pastor says, hey, you need to be born again. Hey, you need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, if you don't, you're going to go to hell. Oh, I don't need to do that, do I? I can wait. I can do that later. I've got plenty of time. You see, here's the thing. No, you can't wait. The Bible says that now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That rich man in Luke chapter 16 thought he could wait. He thought he could wait a little bit more and enjoy the pleasures of this earth. But the Bible says that he died and in hell he lifts up his eyes being in torment. And guess what? He's still there today. He's still there in that torment begging that Lazarus could send him just a tip of water on his finger and cool his tongue. He's still there. Jesus said, you must be born again. There's got to be a change. You've got to have a surgery. There's got to be something different. You see, we've all been born of the flesh. We've all been born earthly. But we've got to be born spiritually as well. In John chapter 3, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a religious man. Should have known the way to heaven. But Jesus saw right through his heart. And knew he didn't know, and so he tells him, you must be born again. He says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then the second time, in verse 7, he says, marvel not, I say unto thee, ye must be born again. You got to be born again. You're not getting there any other way. There has to be a change. You got to go through some kind of a change. And that change is being born again. That change is believing on the gospel message. Here it is. Listen up. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. If you put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, you'll be born again. He'll take you to heaven. All of your sins will be forgiven. You see, God, out of His great love for you and for me, put His Son on a cross. Let Him leave the glories of heaven, take on flesh of a man, take on your sin and my sin, and He went to that cross to pay for sin. So here's the thing. Jesus already paid for your sin. He paid the sin debt. The sin debt has already been paid. So now the question becomes, do you have the Son? He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. 8 billion people in the world today, which group are you in? There's only two groups. those that have trusted Jesus Christ for their salvation, and those that are continuing to work for it. Those that are continuing to hope and do and do all these things, and at the end of the day, they still don't know what to do. But here's the thing. The decision is yours. You're here today, the decision is yours. The Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Hey, you got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on that cross. In verse 13, it's a marvelous truth. He says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He didn't say might be saved, hope to be saved. He said shall be saved. All I'm saying is it's high time we get saved. Let me give you a third one here. It's high time that we be looking for Christ to return. It's high time that we are looking for Jesus to come this very moment, this very second. He's right now. Right now. Titus 2:13 tells us we're to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're to be looking for who? Jesus Christ. We're not to be looking for the Antichrist. We're to be looking for Jesus Christ, our Savior. We need to be looking for Him today. You see, that is our hope. As a believer, as a born-again Christian, that is our hope. That one day God is going to come back. He's going to take us out of this world and we're going to see Him. We're going to be with Him and be with Him forever. And that's what we're looking forward to. It's our hope, not the Antichrist. If you're saved, you're not going to be here when the Antichrist comes on scene. We'll already be raptured up. You see, people in the time of Jesus were not looking for Him to come the first time. They weren't looking for Him to come, but guess what? He came. Just like the Old Testament prophesied that He would come. And they prophesied He would come, and He came in the same way that the Bible said He would. He came how He came, when He came, where He came. All that was in the Bible, and that's exactly how He came. But people aren't looking for Him today, are they? They're not looking for Him today either. They're too caught up in this world and too caught up in Facebook and TikTok and how many followers that I have and the pleasures of the world. But in Matthew chapter 24, in verse 37, he says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I don't know about you, but I would say, how bad was it in Noah's days? Because we're pretty bad now, aren't we? Pretty bad now. So I'm thinking we're right now. He can come back right now. It is imminent. It can happen. He is coming back. He is coming back the very same way that the Bible tells us. And 1 Thessalonians gives us that account in chapter 4. Starting in verse 15, says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, those that have died and gone on. Verse 16 says, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. He's not coming all the way to the earth, coming into the clouds. He's going to shout with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And when He does that, the dead in Christ are coming out of the graves. The dead in Christ shall rise first. When he descends from heaven into the clouds, He's going to shout. Those dead that have been born again, those dead that are saved, trusted Jesus Christ, are coming up out of the graves. Wherever they are. Wherever they are, you say, but there's no body left there. Well, God created the body. God created people. He created everything. Don't you think He knows where that body is? Don't you think He knows the DNA, where it is? Don't you think if He could create this body, He can resurrect that body from the dead? Amen. And then verse 17 tells us, then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. All I'm saying is, that is our hope. That is our comfort. That is like, when we go out into this world and this world tries to beat us down and the devil's attacking, that is our hope. We have the hope that if I don't grow weary and I stay faithful, we're going to reap. There's going to come a time the Lord's coming back and He's going to take me to heaven. Now, no more worries of this world. No more fear. No more trials. No more sickness. No more pain. No more death. None of that stuff. The rapture is certain. It's high time we started looking for Him to come back. But if He comes, are you going? Only those that have been born again will be going. And it could happen right now. So if you truly believe that Jesus Christ could come back and rapture us right now, do you truly believe that? If you truly believe that, are you living for Him? Are you living your life in the fact of the matter that He could return right now? Are you living in sin? If He came back, would He find you in sin? Would he find you at the bars? Would He find you in places you shouldn't be? Are you committed to serve Him? If He could come back now, are you committed to serve Him, no matter the cost? Are you faithful to Him? Are you faithful to church? Are you faithful to winning souls? But again, if He came back right now, would anybody be left here? Would anybody be left here? Are you saved? Have you been born again? I'm about to close here, so this little story here. It says, after church, where a little girl had been taught about the rapture, the little girl went home and started asking her mom about the rapture and began quizzing her mom. And she said, Mommy, do you believe Jesus will come back? And yes, the mom said, I believe Jesus will come back. And the little girl said, could He come today? Yes, said the mother, he could come today. And the little girl said, could He come in a few minutes? Yes, dear, He could come any minute, any second of any day. The little girl looked at her mom and says, Mommy, would you comb my hair? I want to be ready when He comes. You see, that's the doctrine of the rapture. The doctrine of the imminency of the rapture. And it should motivate us to live according. It should motivate us to live our lives in such a way that He could come back this very second. Hey, all I'm saying is this. It's high time. It is high time. The hour is late. The hour is late. It is high time. And it's high time to awake out of sleep. Many are asleep. Many are slumbering. It is high time we awake out of sleep. For those that's never been born again, it's high time we got saved. And those that are saved, we need to be looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ. It is high time we look for Christ and not the Antichrist. Our hope lies in Jesus Christ. Everything is about Christ. Everything relies on Jesus Christ. Let's pray.